Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Oh, rained out.
Well, you didn't float away this time.
No, I got too much to anchor me.
We're waiting for somebody else to come on.
Okay, that'll be great. Do y'all have rain?
Not yet. It's supposed to rain tonight.
We have rain every day this week.
Well, that means Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, that does a whole week. Malka.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we're in Section 6 of Noah. And we're going to start at Pasuk 37. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud like normal. L'shem Yichud kutsha b'richu ishkinte bid hilur himud hilur hilur himu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam, Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kunenei aleinu maasei yadeinu kunenehu. Amar leya ilmalei lo chata adam lavid toldot pegavna da mitzitra dietzer hara. Aval avid told out misitra teruha kadisha dehashta laved told out ela misitra the etzehara ugin the call told out divne nasha call home misitra the etzehara. Begin kach leya lom kiyum beishar lom leit kaima the sitra chara itarav beho. He said to him, had Adam not sinned, he would not have borne offspring from the side of the evil inclination. But he would have borne them from the side of the Holy Spirit. But because he produced offspring only from the side of the evil inclination, all the offspring of mankind are born from the side of the evil inclination. They have no permanent existence, therefore, because the other side has been mixed with them. Questions, comments, thoughts. And I just remind you what the last verse we studied was saying, that if Adam had not sinned, there would be no need for children. And in this verse, we're saying that there would be children, but they would have been different than the children that came after the sin.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hang on. Let me get back over here.
I think we had talked about or we studied where Cain would not be, his children would not be resurrected. And I took that they wouldn't be resurrected in their own bodies, back into their bodies, that they would be reincarnated into other people.
You're misunderstanding something. So I'm not sure if it's from this discussion in the Zohar or from the classes in the advanced reincarnation. But every aspect of the soul is going to be reincarnated and is going to be resurrected. The only question is, will the resurrection take place in the same body that soul did its correction? And generally speaking, that is correct. But we've discussed in the advanced reincarnation certain conditions where the majority of the soul is corrected in a second body, and the first body that did some corrections, when the resurrection takes place, that soul from the first body will be reincarnated or resurrected from the second body because they need to be unified. So essentially, the way to understand it is every aspect of our souls will be resurrected when the resurrection of the dead takes place. And the majority of people will be reincarnated in order to complete their tikkun from each individual lifetime. Is that a little clearer now?
Yes, thank you.
Does anybody have any other questions?
I wondered who he was referring to, and while you were answering Malka, I was kind of turning pages back to see if I could tell which one of the stages was the one that refers to he. I see a Rabbi Abba and a Rabbi Yossi. It may not be important to know who he is.
It is important, one, because you noticed it, and two, because each rabbi represents a sephirah.
Oh.
So if you look back to verse 36, it's Rabbi Chizkiah is asking. So he said the him means the him is Rabbi Chizkiah. And the he, I believe, was Rabbi Abba. Or maybe a Rabbi Eliezer. I don't remember because I haven't. It's been a few days since we followed.
Rabbi Abba in verse 30 and a Rabbi Yossi. And it does say in 32, Rabbi Yossi said to him,
So the discussion is between Rabbi Chizkiah and Rabbi Abba.
Okay.
And generally speaking, I think, and this is just my own perceptions, because Rabbi Abba was given long life in order to complete the writing of the Zohar based on the teachings of Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Abba is probably representing Bina. I've never really thought about what Well, Hizkiyahu represents strength, so he would represent Gevura. You're really talking, the questions and the relationship is between the left column here.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense to me because children, the desire for children comes from the left column. But that doesn't mean that it's right. You always have to question, even if, especially when it comes from me, but from anybody. You have to question, does this make sense for you? Do you perceive it the same way? The logic that they're presenting to you, does it make sense to you? Does it resonate with your soul? Because maybe it doesn't. And that's okay, because people perceive the world differently. Going on to verse 38. Aval ilmale lochata adam velaitarach meginta yeden hawa avid toldot mesitra teruach kuchab betkadishin. Kemal akeilain kaimin ledare darin kegavna bilela kewan techata violid benin bevar meginta te eden bela zakad liapaka lon beginta. Light kaimu afilu lish tirasha v'almada adiata noach deihu tzadik v'al b'teva v'umim teva nafku kol darim v'alma umitaman itpadru lekol arba. But if Adam had not sinned and had not been driven out of the Garden of Eden, he would have begotten offspring from the side of the Spirit of the Holy of Holies, and they would have been as the supreme angels and lived generations upon generations as angels do above. This means that there are two kinds of mating. One is the spirit mating of the angels. The second is the mating of Yesod for the souls. That need for the evil inclination relates only to the mating of Yesod and not to the spiritual mating that comes from the side of the Holy Spirit. But because he sinned and begot children outside the Garden of Eden, and he did not merit to beget them inside the Garden of Eden, therefore, they did not survive, even only to take root in this world, until Noah came and went into the ark. And from the ark, all descending generations of mankind emerged and spread to all four corners of the earth. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Wow. I'm just realizing, wow, that's a big wow for me, of why the flood happened.
Why don't you verbalize it?
Verbalize it? Just as you said, they didn't merit to live in this world due to the fact of Adam's sin, his children. So, and Noah was the 10th generation, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, the generation, the children from Adam up to the birth of Noah, that whole generation, even though there were some righteous individuals in that generation, correct?
That is correct.
They all perished due to the original sin. I don't know if I made myself clear,
yeah,
but that's
well said, but it's also they perished because they didn't do their spiritual work.
Right, they didn't do their tikkun. They didn't repent.
In those 10 generations, each one of the people could have corrected the sin for everyone.
Right.
And when I said there were righteous people, there was Methuselah who was righteous.
Who
was righteous but might have become not righteous.
Corrupt.
There was Seth. Essentially, those are the three that I think of off the top of my head. But they were not complete. They didn't correct the sin for the whole world by themselves, and they had that capability. And because of them not doing that, that's why the flood was necessary. Because the other people in the generations had fallen. And because on one hand, they could have corrected the sin, but on the other hand, if they didn't correct the sin, they lowered. They continued to fall. And effectively, they affected and impacted the earth with their actions, just like we impact the earth with our actions today. When Brandy first came on, she said she was being rained on again. What is that telling you? What's going on with Texas? It's been flooded in the western part of Texas all summer long, or all spring long. What does Texas need relative to the other parts of the United States?
Cleansing.
But what are their actions that have been publicized that need that cleansing? The two things that I can think of, and I'm not playing politics here. I'm describing what I understand. In Texas, they passed a law to limit women's rights to abortions. They're trying to impose one set of rules which may be appropriate for certain people, but they're not giving free choice to the others. They're imposing their will. Now, the courts have thrown that out. But the fact that they tried it, that impacts the earth. That impacts the natural disasters. Otherwise, we'd say, well, why didn't it rain in Kansas or Oklahoma? Because they didn't manifest that same attitude. They may have felt it. Both of those states may have a lot of evangelicals. I don't really know, but I think so. And so they may have all had the same feeling, but they didn't take it to the extent of impinging on someone else's free choice. Now, let's look at Florida has been under attack as well. What have they done? You know, so you have to go back through the papers, see in what way are they impinging on people's free choice. But there's a balance to this, because on the one hand, as the modern generation, and I grew up with this, said, you know, I can do anything I want as long as I'm not hurting anybody. But is that really true? The Torah says it's not true, because it is true as long as you judge or evaluate or discern from the standpoint of the spiritual laws. When we say in the physical world, I can do whatever I want as long as I don't hurt somebody, we're not evaluating the non-actions. We're not evaluating that there's homeless in the world. So whatever I'm doing that gives me pleasure, if I'm not taking care of the homeless, I am hurting somebody, because I could use that same energy in that way. Now, we are not righteous in our generation. I really shouldn't say that. I can't speak for other people. I know I am not righteous. And so when I see a homeless person, I know that I have caused that person to become homeless, or I have a responsibility to help that person to not be homeless. But I can't do that by forcing him to live in a place that he doesn't want to live. I have to deal with him or her based on what are their desires, and then what is the society capable of doing. So, Hana, was I preaching?
No. I was just trying to think if I should add what I learned a long time ago. I shared it with Brandy a couple of weeks ago. It really does involve Malka as well, because we're virtually the three of us on the border of Louisiana and Texas, which is the Sabine River. And, maybe in the early 90s, I saw a connection between the Sabaeans in the Book of Job and how these negative entities travel generation through generation, and how the Sabaean got its name and was by the same, it was a group, a party. I did this a long time ago, so I hope I'm remembering that a group of, men, they got the Indians drunk and raped the women and stole their belongings and all. And, and then I even saw it we had bought a lot near the college, and I learned that piece of property, when Lake Charles was young, was farmed. They planted groves of oranges, and a person by the name of John McNeese, who the college is named after, he had decided that he was going to go to Texas and get some cattle and bring them to Louisiana, and he was going to grow cattle in that area, which is now where the college is and where our home was going to be that we were building. And when he went to Texas to get the cattle, on his return trip, the cattle drank the water and ate the reeds along the bank, and they died. So I was still seeing how here was the same Sabaean, I don't know if I should say spirit or entity, still coming about. It stole his cattle, his goods. And I've made connections every time, almost every time anyway, that something happens along our border between Louisiana and Texas. It always involves loss of property and lives I'm not saying it very well. I felt like that was a connection. When we studied, when we were looking up the meaning of what trying to find a connection between Port Arthur and I never had a chance to share that with Donna or with Malcolm. So it let me see that, spiritual picture. I don't quite know how to put it into words. You can almost predict when something's going to happen because of that same type of effect, I guess I should say.
Exactly.
Still going on today in 2017 as it was in 1996 when I studied it, or even when John McNeese in the early 1900s or late 1880s went to Texas to get cattle to bring over to Louisiana. So, and I sense it when I go over into Texas, you know, to either visit Brandy or Judy or even heading toward Houston when we go for Passover products and grocery shopping.
Right.
I don't think you would have to tell me if I had my eyes closed, you wouldn't have to tell me we just crossed the border, because I sense it when we're there.
Well, you've reached a spiritual level where you're sensitive to the energy. You can tell the difference. Most people who are sensitive to energy are not that discerning, but that's what, as people grow, they will become that way.
It's the same way. You can feel the change when you go from Texas to Louisiana. When I go for Hebrew class, I can feel the change. You wouldn't have to tell me either. There's just something about it.
So, we have to stop accepting, and I'm not criticizing you, Brandy, it's just a level, but understand the goal is to be able to verbalize, it's not just that something is different, but what is different? Which of the Sephirot is making it different? But that discernment is a very high level. But the first thing is to realize that you can discern which Sephirah is involved.
Well, I know not too long ago, maybe about a year ago, Donna, Malcolm may remember that they were expecting floodwaters. And because I knew this link to the Sabians, I felt like I had direction to pray. And I'm not saying that because of my prayers, I was the one who kept the floodwaters back, because I'm sure there were other people praying as well. But I always felt like, because Abraham prayed to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I always felt like maybe that was the reason Noah, it said that he was righteous in his generation. We don't ever read that he prayed for that generation.
That is the criticism that the Talmud and the sages say, and that's why the words in the Torah are Noah was righteous in his generation, but he wasn't a completely righteous person, which gets back to what Malcolm was asking about. Yes, Noah was righteous, but he wasn't completely righteous until he went into the ark,
mm-hmm.
and actually until he came out of the ark, because he didn't realize that he could, if Noah had prayed for the generation, if Noah was building the ark for 600 years. He planted the trees for the ark 600 years before he needed them. I mean, they needed to grow for those 600 years. And for those 600 years, people were making fun of him for, why are you planting trees like that? You know, the trees are all around us. The earth is filled with trees. Why are you planting these trees? Because he needed to have trees that would not be impacted by human activity, except for positive human activity. But he never prayed to God to say, let's change these people. Let's give them the light that they need to see the truth. And we need to do that today. Rabbi Berg many times would say, what's the difference between the Romans and today? And he'd say, we have great technology. We have all these airplanes. We have all these cars that will go faster than wagons, and that we don't need horses anymore. But look at one person to another person. Somebody living in Roman times was bloodthirsty. The males would keep the women as slaves. What are you reading about in the newspapers today? About, you know, the slave trade. Some woman from England was put into sexual slavery in Italy. What has changed?
Not much.
Haven't really changed. People are still selfish. They're still oriented about themselves instead of helping others. And we have to pray, we have to reveal more light so that they will eventually see it. Not that we can go conquer them and force them to our way of doing things, which is what has been going on since the beginning of the world.
Well, I know that since we've been studying Noah, I noticed that it really, the day that you said the flood started, that's the day it started raining here in Texas. And I wondered, it rained every day for almost 2 weeks. I wondered if it was going to continue to rain on for 40 days. But
the thing about the rain, it usually does this in the month of June, where we get rain every day, because I used to hang my sheets on the line, and I used to have to go get them by 11 o'clock because it was always going to shower. But now it's a little bit later. It's August. So the timing is off. But here it hasn't been flood. It's just been rain every day. And it was not. You know, it wasn't heavy rain. And Tony made the comment because he has to start, you know, he's a crossing guard, which there's no children to cross. It's just cars and buses. And it's going to be very, very hot in the very beginning, 3:30 in the afternoon, even in the early morning. And he said, well, the rain is going to cool down everything. So he looked at it as a positive thing. He said that about an hour ago. And, you know, so
and,
I think...
And everything, all human activity can be seen as positive or can be seen as negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to us, how will we perceive that?
Well, for me, knowing the particular name of that entity that I saw move across Europe over into America and seeing the same effects here on the border of Louisiana and Texas, that really gave me a heart to be able to, you know, to identify with the sins and be able to cry out to God of how, you know, how terrible we are. How we've been, and so it, and I feel like Hashem had to give that to me, you know, that it was.
You know, whoever named that river was given Ruach HaKodesh to name it what is appropriate for it or for its internal essence.
Mm-hmm. And it came right at the time. When I was learning roots, when I was studying, you know, because I started Hebrew on my own. And it happened to be the week that I was seeing roots and just hearing an S and a B and an N sound, you know, it just clicked. And then when I went to the encyclopedias and that morning, it happened, it was in January, and I was reading in the book of Job before I went to school. I'd do my prayers and then I'd read the Torah and at that time I was in the book of Job, and I don't know, it was a combination of just everyday life, but there came the information, and it's lasted all these many years. I keep seeing it crop up from time to time, as well as even in Lake Charles. We have a little coolie named Python, and it's the same thing. I see things that happen that's connected with that, which is I found it linked to a religious spirit. So even the Acadians, when they came to Louisiana, they dedicated their trip to, they call it the Virgin Mary, you know, and the city that was hit the hardest by a hurricane, I mean, they named their church was called Our Lady of the Sea, and that's who they had dedicated that church to. So, I mean, you know, you just see all these things after a while, and you do what you can with what's revealed to you.
If you're looking to make those connections, yes, you will see them. That's really the issue. If you have a desire to see everything, you'll see it. But most people are so into themselves and what's happening in their, in, you know, their desires and what they want to accomplish, and they're feeling so pressured by the society we live in that they don't take the time to question that. And so they don't see it.
Well, see, I couldn't share that with anybody at that particular time. They would have all thought I was nuts.
Well, you didn't have the ability. There wasn't anybody available to you. Because you're going back in the early 90s, unless you were connected to the Kabbalah Center somehow, and they were only connecting by the groups of people living in the cities. They weren't going out into the country. They didn't do that until 2002, 2004. So, you know, unless you were connected to them in some way, you would have never had the consciousness to do it. But you were seeing it. And then what would you do with it? How would you express that? And you're right. At that point in your life, You weren't ready to bear the brunt of people saying you're crazy. Whereas today, you know, after another 20-some years, you have the strength to say, all right, you think I'm crazy, okay, but I know I'm not. But that shows spiritual growth. So everyone, have a beautiful evening. I am going to do the class that I slept through yesterday tonight at 7 o'clock. So I will be doing the goodness of the land of Israel tonight.
Okay.
And then we'll do the third temple tomorrow.
Okay.
Have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, Anna.